Psalm 32 is where we're going to start. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So what we've been doing, this is the third Wednesday we've done this, is we've been doing a little bit of a series on that word blessed as it pertains to men and women. Not so much blessed be the Lord, but as it concerns us. And we saw in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that, you know, you see those various blessings that are there, and walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly and so forth. Then we looked at blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, the trusting man. Tonight we're going to look at blessed is the forgiven man. And actually there are two passages we want to look at today, this one and then one other blessing. But I want to tell you, according to this scripture, it truly is blessed to be forgiven. It's a blessing. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Now, forgiveness is not based on how you approach the Lord with your request. A lot of times when you talk about people, whether or not they're serious when they ask the Lord to forgive them, people have all kinds of ideas about that. Oh, you need to be shedding tears, or you need to be truly very, very sorry, or you need to repent a certain way. Listen, the forgiveness is not based upon how you approach God as much as it is based upon what Jesus Christ has already done for you. Forgiveness is based upon the propitiation of Christ. That is, what he did on Calvary satisfied the wrath of God so that he doesn't put it on us. He put that on his Son. And it is guaranteed. You know, somebody said, well, what happens if I sin after I get saved? It's guaranteed. After you're saved, you come to the Lord and confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, some people have argued, and we're not going to detour this study to answer the argument, oh, if you died for all your sins and he forgave you when you got saved, then there's no reason to confess your sins after you're saved. There is a reason. And the reason is, and I've talked to a number of people who have said to me the same thing that I've said to you, and that is this. When I can identify, according to the Scripture, a sin that I am committing or have committed, I'm calling it what God calls it. I recognize that this thing that I've thought, that I've done, that I've said is indeed a sin, and when I confess it, I'm agreeing with God. God, you're right. This is a sin, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And God says, I'm glad you recognize what it is, and you're forgiven. And the forgiveness is, in fact, based upon the propitiation of Christ, but it has a current effect because it restores, if nothing else, your fellowship with the Lord. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So you know, practically speaking, that your relationship with people down here is affected when you cross them and you don't apologize for what you've done. It stresses the relationship. And if it stresses relationships here, it will stress our relationship with the Lord as well. He just kind of goes silent on that until we're not doing this anymore. And you confess that, and the Lord says, you are forgiven. He's faithful and just because of what his Son has already done. And I thank God for that. Paul quotes from Psalm 32 in Romans chapter 4. Go over there and look at that real quick with me. Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. So it's not just something that is recorded for us in the Old Testament that we apply. It's something that Paul saw in the Old Testament and quoted in the New Testament to help us to understand this forgiveness, this forgiveness of our transgression is current. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. To not impute sin is to say, I am not going to keep that sin on your account. Now, gentlemen, you're married. Some of y'all are married. And God does not keep account of your sin. Your wife does. So you don't need him to. She remember everything you've done since the day you said I do. And I'm just sorry about that for you. But God doesn't do that. God's not like that. God says, I am not going to impute that sin. You know what that means? I don't have a record of it. There's a song. Doctrinally, it's not completely, I would say, correct, because it talks about sins being torn out of the book of life. I know names are in the book of life. I'm not sure about the sins. But here's how the song goes in the chorus. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. That's God. He chooses not to remember those sins because they've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. You know what that is? That's a blessing. So no matter what you've done in the past, you're forgiven when you take that thing to the Lord because of what Jesus Christ has done. And you know, he always forgives. You know who has a hard time with this? You do. You have a hard time forgiving yourself sometimes, and you have a hard time accepting that he's forgiven you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When God promised to forgive us of our sins when we confess them, that wasn't so you could go do them again tomorrow, and then tomorrow night, come back there and say, okay, you know, Lord, same old drill we've been doing for the last 15 years. I'm sorry, didn't intend for that. He said, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you know what the Lord wants us to do? His objective in calling out that sin and seeking forgiveness is to get done with it. Clean up, be done with it, and get over it. You know what? You're not going to be troubled about past sin if you're not continuing to repeat them today. But unfortunately, we have people today who get hooked on something. And that's a broad, there's a lot of things that you can get hooked on. So I'm not going to start naming them. The thing is, they get hooked on that. And then once they get saved, what happens is they keep fighting with that addiction. You know what the Lord wants us to do with this forgiveness? He wants us to get clean and stay clean. People that are addicted will say sometimes, I've been clean, that's what they'll say, for so long, whatever the period of time is. Well, that's the objective. But what happens is people, it's like being on a merry-go-round that's not so merry, and they just keep coming back that same way again and again and again. You know, the Lord just wants us to do this. Let me forgive you. You get off, and by my strength, why don't you go on another way, and let's don't come back here anymore. And you know something? The beautiful thing about it is now are you not only blessed with a clean record, but now you are blessed with a cleaner life because you have the truth that makes you free from the bondage of sin. Trust him. Do what he said and get free with that. I'll tell you what, it won't trouble you. Your past won't trouble you like it has if it's not continuing to show up in the future. And that's true. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Let's go back to Psalms, Psalm 41, and I'll show you another. Not only is blessed is the forgiven man, but blessed is the man who considereth the poor. Blessed is the man, and again, we're talking about people when I say the man, who considereth the poor. Psalm 41, look at these three verses. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him under the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. The Lord says here, blessed is he that considereth the poor. So blessed is the man who considereth the poor. You know what he's saying is, remember the rich ruler that came to Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? And the Lord said, just take those possessions you have and sell those and give to the poor and come follow me. You'll have eternal life, right? You'll have treasure in heaven. Why? Because the Lord remembers when you do something for the Lord. Giving to help those in need, I say, according to this passage of Scripture and others that you see in the Bible, is better than insurance for the future. I'm talking about financial insurance for the future. Because you're using what you have, some of what you have, to help people who have not, and you're doing it for the Lord. How does that verse go? Whoso giveth to the poor, giveth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, will he pay him again? You know which verse I'm talking about? You don't know. Look it up. I know. The point is, the Lord recognizes that because you're using your hands and ability to minister to people who, because the Lord's not walking around here to take care of that. And that gives you an opportunity. Our Lord told that rich man, you'll have treasure in heaven. Now he said, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him, in verse 1, in time of trouble. Trouble comes. It just comes. Man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward, Job 5:7 says. And so that keeps people worrying. Look, there's no need to worry about how you're going to make it through the trouble if you've considered the poor. Now, you say, well, when have I gotten an opportunity to do that? When you give to missions. As one example, there are times also when there are people here that have need or other people you know that have need and you help them in that time of need, the Lord sees that. But I'll say, if you're here giving to missions through the church here, and that money is going over to help the feeding center in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, those kids that are digging around there for any rotten scrap to get food in their belly, or the crows who are in Cambodia and they've got that river city and those people, they can't cultivate, they don't own land, and help those folks out. Or those orphans that are in Vietnam, you know? And on the list goes, that just gives you. And that you're contributing is used to take care of them. The Lord says, you know what the blessing is? They're in trouble and you're relieving them. If and when trouble comes your way, I'll be there to make sure you're taken care of. Because I've seen what you've done when you had that opportunity. I remember years ago, I had a good friend of mine who was a preacher. And he was, like some of the old-time preachers, very direct. You ever meet anybody like that? And people that preached in that generation, as direct as they were and as convicted as they were about what they believed, they had friends, but they also had enemies. And his enemies, even though some of them named Christ as their Savior, hoped that his ministry wouldn't last very long, that God would somehow or another just take him out. You say, I can't believe people feel that way. They do. They really do. And they didn't have nice things. I mean, those that didn't like him didn't have nice things to say about him. But that man, that preacher that I'm thinking of, had a very fruitful ministry. Many people got called to preach under his ministry. Many souls got saved in his ministry. Good church was built in his ministry. God did that. But I knew him well. And I'll tell you one thing that I knew about him that he didn't broadcast, and a lot of people didn't know. That man considered the poor. He was exceedingly generous with men and women in need. And I'd see his heart break for people who, for instance, really ended up in the trouble life can bring. Well, he lived to be way up into his mid-90s. His friend's wishes didn't come to pass. And when he did, toward the end, you know what happens in a mid-90-year-old body? You saw it recently with Brother Lindley, right? It just begins, doesn't quite work like it did when you were younger. And there's a little time on that bed of languishing. There's a little time when there's not good strength there in verse 3. And I wrote him a letter. And I quoted this verse of Scripture. And I said, I'm really glad to see the Lord strengthening you upon your bed of languishing, and the Lord making all your bed in your sickness. All that you did to help those that were poor, the Lord's taking care of you. And one day he passed on peacefully to be with the Lord, and that's where he is today. And I've never forgotten that, and I thought, I've seen with my own eyes what the Lord has done to help those who take care of those. He said, you say, what's the blessing? The blessing is, even though the body was failing, his joy didn't fail, his heart didn't fail, his mind didn't fail, and the Lord was taking care of him. And I'm just going to tell you, some of us are in good health, and we've got the gray hair, and we're going to go on for a bit longer, perhaps, as the Lord tarries. You want the Lord to be there to take care of you. He can do better. You know, have you ever read in the obituaries how they thank the caregivers that were there for them at the end and how sweet these nurses are? I'm going to tell you what, I think those people that do that hospice-type work and that caregiving, I think they're cut out for that work. They're very, very special people. But in addition to having them, wouldn't you like the Lord to be there to take care of you? That's a blessing. That's a very, very sincere blessing. So you want a blessing? Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. You take that stuff to the Lord Jesus Christ and get that slate clean. You go to home tonight and you don't worry about any of that. The Lord chooses not to remember when your sins are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed is the man who considereth the poor. You're not wasting money or throwing it away when you take care of people that God wants you to take care of who need help. The Lord will remember that when you need it. He'll be there for you. Father, thank you for showing us the blessings in your book, and we're asking you, please, to help us to remember what we've learned and live by it. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.